Mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Hostess Twinkies once topped the snack cake food chain in America and beyond.
Every spaceman knows you just gotta have Hostess Twinkies along. Even space girls know it. You get a big delight in every bite. Delicious Hostess cream-filled Twinkies taste out of this world.
Like that commercial from the 1970s, the golden sponge cake with creamy filling ran past its considerable shelf life. In the early aughts, Hostess announced that it was on the brink of bankruptcy and that Twinkies, Honey Buns, and Ding Dongs were going down with it. That was before a private equity firm took over and launched what it called the sweetest comeback in the history of ever, but not without some heavy costs. Drew Harwell is a staff writer at the Washington Post and wrote what it took to save the Twinkie. We reached him via Skype. And Drew, hello. Welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So remind us of this Twinkie timeline, its ups and downs. Why and when did Hostess announce they were going to stop making Twinkies?
Yeah, so for a couple decades, they were on top of the world, and then they started to have all these sorts of labor issues where they were fighting with their workers over pensions and labor costs. And so by 2012, they filed bankruptcy for a second time, and it looked like they were going to shut down the manufacturing lines for good, stop making Twinkies and cupcakes and ding-dongs and sort of all these iconic snacks that we had known and loved. And there was this huge public outcry. And in the following years, these private equity buyers started to see, hey, clearly there's, you know, an interest in sort of saving this iconic brand. And hey, we can actually get it for cheap too, because the company is sort of going under. So they spent a lot of money to buy the company, and now it's sort of back, and they're making the kind of snacks that they've been doing for a long time. But they've also had to, you know, sort of carve into the bottom line and make a lot of big changes to their bakeries and their workforce to sort of get it back into a normal functioning company again.
So who were these private equity companies, and are they still selling them as Hostess?
Yeah, so one of them, his name is C. Dean Metropoulos, and he's a really sort of fascinating guy. He's known as a turnaround artist, and he's become a billionaire over the years and buying up these sort of food brands that, you know, you probably have in your kitchen, but the company's sort of going under for any number of reasons. And he'll buy them, and then he'll do the sort of typical private equity thing where, you know, lots of jobs will be cut, but a lot of money will be spent on sort of upgrading the manufacturing, streamlining stuff, maybe closing some factories, but expanding production so they can make money on one side and sort of save money on the other. So he partnered up with another sort of private equity firm, and now they are still running it. It's called Hostess Brands, and it's chopped off some of the snacks it used to make, but it's still sort of making the big things that a lot of Americans know and love, like Twinkies.
How are Twinkies selling today?
Twinkies are selling a little bit better than they were, you know, a couple years ago, but it's nothing like they were selling back in, you know, the 50s, when it was this really hearty sort of post-war snack that you could throw in your lunchbox or throw in a time capsule like Bill Clinton did in 1999. You know, it was this really sort of American treat. But over the years, you know, there was a greater push toward maybe eating food that is a little seemingly more natural or more healthy or less filled with vanilla cream. And their sales sort of went down. So by 2012, they were not really selling that well. But now that there was a feeling like, hey, maybe we were taking these things for granted, they're starting to sell much better. And the new Hostess under, you know, C. Dean Metropoulos and co. have done a lot of changes to get them on more shelves. One of the things about Twinkies was, for so long, they weren't even on vending machines. They weren't even in convenience stores. This was one of the sort of outdated parts of the old business that people thought maybe cost them a lot of money. So with little changes like that, they've been able to sell in these sort of grab-and-go ways that they never were before, and they're selling a little bit better now.
We're talking about the great Twinkie turnaround with Drew Harwell. He's a staff writer at the Washington Post, and he wrote about the ups and downs of the iconic snack food, which was threatened with extinction but has since been revived and is selling fabulously. Pulling in, as you write, $650 million in revenue in 12 months, ending May 31st. No small change, but any changes in the recipe? I mean, I don't remember seeing whole grains in Twinkies. Is it the original?
No. No quinoa, no kale in the Twinkies. It's a little bit different, and they actually spent millions of dollars sort of on these company chemist to go in and do one big thing, which is extend their shelf life. You know, for so long, people had said that Twinkies would sort of last till, you know, the final days alongside cockroaches. And that was never really true. They sort of would last for about 30 days before they started turning into the kind of Twinkie you wouldn't want to eat. But they were able to sort of, through the magic of chemistry, double that shelf life. So now they're able to sell for 65 days. And, you know, there's a consumer sort of convenience to that. But the big thing on the manufacturing side is that they can expand the delivery time, so they don't have to run trucks as often as they need to. They've sort of switched their delivery method from delivering straight to stores to delivering to warehouses that then sort of distribute the product like that. Little tiny tweaks like that can save them a lot of money on one side while still sort of selling the same kind of product. Some people say it tastes a little bit different, but to my palate, which is pretty unrefined, I don't really taste a difference.
Well, this is all good news for Twinkie, and those refinements sound good, but this isn't exactly a job creation story, is it?
No, it's really not. And, you know, Twinkie and Hostess sort of created this distribution method that relied on these regional bakeries that were all over the country. You'll sort of see them in some small towns where they look like thrift stores almost, and they sell old sort of baked goods for discount prices. That was a good method, but it also cost a lot of money. It was fairly inefficient because they had to staff all these regional bakeries. They had to stock them, and then they were selling them at low prices, so they weren't making as much money on the outside. So with the private equity buyers, and they've cut down on a lot of those discount stores, the big thing is that they've closed down most of the bakeries. Even the bakery in the Chicago suburb of Schiller Park, where the Twinkie was first baked, has been shut down, and 400 of those jobs were affected. Either people were laid off or moved to other bakeries. So, you know, it was hard for people to see that this company was, you know, reinvented and resurrected, and yet a lot of the production lines and industrial ovens and people who had been working making these things for decades, they were no longer needed. There's now only a few bakeries in Indiana and Kansas and Georgia that do most of the baking. But, you know, thousands of jobs have been cut over the last several years. And a lot of these were sort of union represented manufacturing jobs that had been with Hostess for their entire career. So, you know, a couple of years ago, there were 22,000 workers in more than 40 bakeries. Now it's down to about 1,000 workers in 3 bakeries. So, it's an incredible sort of shaving down. And, you know, the company will say, we had to get to that point to be more efficient, and we're making a product and we're selling well, so we're getting closer to being profitable. But, you know, for the people who have seen this company as an American icon for 100 years or so, that's sort of a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, and it's still an iconic brand, however, that's selling very well. So what's next? Do we see varieties of Twinkies?
Yeah, what's next is they're going to start doing these weird kind of exclusive lines. They're doing a frozen deep-fried Twinkie that they're selling exclusively at Walmart, which is probably not a surprise. They did a year-long sort of partnership with Walmart, it seems, pinned to the state fair kind of crowd. They're also doing these sort of movie tie-ins. They're doing like a key lime slime Twinkie pinned to the Ghostbusters movie that's out this week. So there are all these sort of ideas that they're investing money in to think, how can we sort of ride this kind of pop culture wave that we've been on for a couple of years? And how can we get these people who may be eating healthy in every other meal but still want this sort of calorie-rich indulgence?
That lasts for 65 days.
Right. 65-day indulgence.
Drew, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Drew Harwell, he's staff writer at the Washington Post, and we spoke with him about his article, What It Took to Save a Twinkie. Now, you can find a link to that article and a Twinkie time lapse. Now, we cannot verify exactly the source of this, but it's a Twinkie and a tomato aging over several weeks. Find a link to look at both at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.